Bruchim Haboim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Toldos. Hopefully, Bezus Hashem, everyone in the Heichal, you didn't expect it to be the first sentence. Everyone in the Heichal, everyone who's listening live, and everyone who will hear the recording when it's sent out, hopefully will get chizuk from the shir and will enhance our Shabbos Kodesh once again. Bruchim Haboim to everyone. Parsha Insights, Parshas Toldos, we have a lot to cover. Please keep in mind that the shir is said, Lezecher Nishmas, Uleili Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel, your dear parents, their neshama tahira should each have a lichtig gan eden. The shir is also sponsored, Leili Nishmas, Miriam Zlata, Basra Moshe Machoel. Please keep in mind her name, Miriam Zlata Basra Moshe Machoel, for her neshama tahira to have a lichtig gan eden. If you take a look in the beginning of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu is born, and he has the name Yaakov, and the Pasuk tells us, Vayikra Shemo Yaakov, if you take a look in the very beginning, why does he have that name? Yodo Yechezes Ba'akev Esav. When he emerged into this world, he really emerged into this world the same time as his brother Esav. He was grasping onto the heel. Akev is a heel, so the name Yaakov etymologically comes from Akev, which is the heel, a representation that when he entered the world, he was grasping onto the heel of his brother Esav. Many years ago, I saw from the tour al HaTorah on this pasuk, and you can look it up yourself, brings down something so incredibly, incredibly powerful. It's actually from one of the most powerful pshatim I've heard. You're telling me in this pasuk that Yaakov Avinu was given his name etymologically from the word okev because he entered this world by grasping and grabbing onto the heel of his brother? That best defines Yaakov Avinu? When you give a person a name, you want the name to represent the spitz, the ultimate, the pinnacle, the essence, the zenith of what the person represents. Yaakov Avinu is known as the Bechir Shaba'avos, representing kama v'kama, many, many dvarim that are extraordinary. And from them all, his name is Yaakov, from the word okev, because he grabbed onto his brother's heel when he entered this world? That's the ultimate description of Yaakov Avinu? The Torah ala Tairis Masber, yes, it most certainly is. I want you to open up your hearts to this pshat, that's how powerful it is. It most certainly is the greatest compliment and the greatest title and appellation, the name Yaakov from the word Akev. Why? The Torah explains that when a woman gives birth to a child, there's what's called tzar leida. As a result of giving birth, there are certain pains that comes together with the childbirth, when the child enters this world. When a woman has twins, the Torah brings down she's going to normally suffer that tsar leida, the pain, twice, once, and then a few moments later, a second time, there will be the pain twice. Yaakov Avinu, even as that baby entering this world, he had one thing on his mind. I want to enter the world grabbing onto my brother's heel so that we both enter the world at the same time, so that I will minimize the tsar and the pain that my mother has to go through. In other words, instead of her having tsar leida, the pain, twice, one, and then again, as one normally would with twins, let it be that she only has to suffer the tsar leida, the pain of childbirth, one time. And he wanted, therefore, to enter this world at the same time as his brother, and in order to accomplish that, he grabbed onto the akev, the heel, to minimize the tsar, to minimize the pain that his mother would have to go through. And that's why, says the Torah, La Torah, the greatest name that we could refer to Yaakov, the Bechir Sheba Avos, is Yaakov from the word Akev. We ask the question, that's the ultimate? That's the zenith of a compliment for Yaakov Avinu? The answer is yes. Yes, yes, it definitely is. Because Yaakov is etymologically from the word Akev, and Akev is heel, and he grabbed onto the heel to emerge at the same time to minimize his mother's tsar. And so the greatest title that he has is Yaakov from the word Akev, because you want to minimize the tsar of a fellow Yid. We are to emulate the ways of Yaakov Avinu, to feel someone's pain, to try to minimize that pain. If you take a look in the beginning of Nefesh HaChaim, the classic Nefesh HaChaim from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in the beginning of the Sefer, his son says that my father, meaning Reb Chaim Volozhiner, used to always say, Lei nivra ha'adam ela l'hoyel acharini. The reason that a person was created was to help a fellow Yid. Lei nivra ha'adam ela l'hoyel acharini. The only reason a person was created. This is from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, the mother of all yeshivas, of all the Torah that we have today. And his son said that my father used to say the only reason a person was created was l'hoyel acharini, to help and to be there for a fellow Yid. That's mamish the name Yaakov from the word Akev. What can I do to minimize your tsar? What can I do to try to feel and be margish your pain? My Rav Rabbeinu says of Chaim Volozhiner, that is the reason we were created. So I'm asking you, do you emulate Yaakov Avinu? Should we be doing a better job? We could always, there's room for improvement. After October 7th, which was the Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, there's a topic we've spoken about countless times, and it's certainly apropos to mention now. We have spoken multiple times about the topic of Nesias Eil, Naisei Be'olim Chaveiroi. It's a topic that needs to be spoken about more often. You may remember a few weeks ago when we made 4 points. It was one of the four. In fact, it was the first one. Naisei Be'olim Chaveiroi means you do something to emulate the ways of Yaakov Avinu, hence the name Akev. I told you the pshat, the Torah la Torah. Naisei ba'elim chaveirin means to feel the tsar, to be margish the pain that someone's going through and to do something about it. Naisei ba'el, help carry that load. We mentioned after October 7th that one of the most important things to do is to make sure we have a profound sense of naisei ba'elim chaveirin. With that, and with those that's taking place 6,000 miles away in the north and south of Eretz Yisrael, my Rabbis, it's not negotiable, it's not an option, it's a chayv, it's obligatory, it's mandatory. 2 mornings ago, as you know, I just got back from Eretz Yisrael. My mom has just arrived about an hour and a half ago. I went primarily for the yard site of my father's atzal. Shabbos Kodesh was the 26th yard site of Avi Meiri Harav Avram Mordechai Ben Harav Yosef Zatzal. And there were many extraordinary people that I met, and I hope over Shabbos Kodesh to share this coming Shabbos some fascinating, inspiring people that I met. Really incredible stories about people's emunas, people's resiliency. I hope to speak about it over Shabbos, and very much so, as you know, this Friday night is Bezus Hashem, the yard site shir, the annual yard site shir that we have in memory of my father's atzal. I hope at that yard site shir, to give over some of the experiences from the few days that I was in Eretz Yisrael. 2 mornings ago, I had this chus, as I try every year, that I go for Shachris and then to spend some time with my Rosh Hashiva, who I learned by approximately 30 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman, Shlita. Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Schwartzman is the oldest Einikol of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. And it's always an extreme treat. There were different mices that both he and his Rebbetzin said over. I'll share a few of them with you this evening. I came back to the apartment I was staying and I tried to write everything down. I shouldn't forget. It was mamish, mamish, a taste of heaven. I must tell you, Rabbi Yisai, sitting with the Rosh Hashiva Shlita, sitting with the Rosh Hashiva Shlita and hearing the mices was mamish, a taste of heaven. And so while we're on the topic of in the CSO, Nesei Boilem Chaveiroi, I'm going to share a maisa that he told me. It's actually, he brought it out for an additional reason, but I don't want to get to that reason until later on in this year. He was talking about his bubby, his grandmother, the wife, the Rebbetzin of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. A little bit of the maisa I knew, but not the depth and the profundity of it. We got into the conversation about Nesei Boilem Chaveiroi, and I was asking the Rosh Hashiva the obvious question. If I'm 6,000 miles away and I limit myself to a particular luxury, or I don't partake of something that maybe I normally would, whatever it is, you remember a few weeks ago we said we're not giving specific examples, but everyone has to do something to be Nesei Boilem Chaveiroi. And if anything, the passage of time just makes it more of a chayiv, not less. So I had asked the Rosh Hashiva fundamentally, how does it work, Nesei Boilem Chaveiroi? How does that affect the outcome or the matziv 6,000 miles away? The first thing the Rosh Hashiva Shlita told me was, Nesei Boilem Chaveiroi is not for Yedim, it's not for the other person, it's for you. You have to do something to limit the luxury. You have to do something to limit something that you would normally do as an excess or an extra. It's a din in you. In fact, he brought out Mishnah Sirbaran, the classic Svarim from Mizeidah Rabbi Aaron Kotler. If you take a look in the first Chelek, there's pages, very, very, very powerful from Rabbi Aaron, about the great, great, great importance that must be attached to every yid being Nesei Boilem Chaveiroi when somebody's going through a tzara. And then the Rashiva shared with me how Rabaran's Rebbetzin, his bubby, Rebbetzin Kotler, part of it, as I said a moment ago, is well known, the rest I wasn't aware of. After the Milchama, the Second World War, the Milchama was over. But the thought that 6 million Yidden of Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael were murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shema Mizichron, the thought that 6 million were murdered after the Milchama till her entire life, she lived approximately after the Milchama 40 years. The part that I knew was that after the Milchama, she never tasted sweets again. Any type of something that was sweet, be it a candy, be it chocolate, I didn't say for a week, a month, a year, while the Milchama was going on. The Milchama was over for the next approximately 40 years of her life. She never tasted a sweet or a chocolate or a candy. How could she? How could I? When this is what Klal Yisrael went through. Secondly, and we're talking about all these things for approximately 40 years, she never had any meat whatsoever. I heard this straight from the Rashiva 2 mornings ago. Unless it was meat that was left over from Shabbos Kodesh. Number three, she never, ever in 40 years bought any new furniture. And number four, for the same 40 years, She never, ever, ever bought or treated herself to a new dress. 40 years. All four things the Rosh Hashiva told me 2 mornings ago, his bubby, after the Milchama, how could one not sleep, not the meat unless it was Shabbos, no furniture, and not a new dress. 40 years. Naisei ba'olam chaveiroi. We're going to get back to this story in a little while, towards the end of the shiur, and you'll see why. When you take a look at emulating the ways of Yaakov Avinu, as the Torah says in the word Okev, as the Chaim Voloshiner says, L'hoyel achrini, we must make sure we have a darga of naisei ba'olam chaveiroi. Something to mamish be margish, or try. We can't be margish what someone else is going through. But to at least be bitzar limit, as Rabaran says in Mishnah Rabaran, we're doing it for ourselves. To make us more acutely sensitive to a matzah that's taking place now in Eretz Yisrael. If you take a look actually a little bit later on in the parsha, Chof Vav, Posuk Dalet, you find that once again the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "V'herbeisi ezaracha ki chaychei hashamayim." Chof Vav Posuk Dalet. We will be increased like the stars look to kochavim. There are a number of things that Klal Yisrael is constantly compared to. Perhaps the one that's most notable, or most often, is that we're compared to Kechavim. Once again, in this week's parsha, we had it a few weeks ago, we have it again, time and time and time again, we're compared to Kechavim. The legendary Rosh Hashiva of Detroit, Reb Leib Bachs, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, is Masber, why is a Yid compared to a star? There's a lot of the very famous answers, because the stars are either so limitless in being able to count them, or they're so illuminating, or so bright, brilliant, different size, many answers. You want to know what Reb Leib Bachs says, why you and I are compared to Kechavim? Because if you take a look in Parshas Bereishis, when the moon was diminished in size, take a look at Rashi. The Ribbono Shel Olam created Kechavim after the moon was diminished in size. Why, says Rashi? Why were the Kechavim, the stars, created? Because the moon might have felt badly, slighted, that it was diminished in size. So the Ribbono Shel Olam created Kechavim, lehafiz daite. Lehafiz daite means to appease and to make the moon feel better. Stars were created for one reason. Lehafiz, to appease and make the moon feel better. Zokter Blei Bach, that's why Klal Yisrael is always compared to Kechavim. Because our job, Mayrai V'Rabbeisai, is Lehafiz daite, to be there for people, to appease someone. Somebody who's going through a tzar, to help them go through it properly. When you're nice, ba'elim chaveru, you achieve the title of being a shining kunk of a star. Why? Because I just told you from Reb Leib Bachs, Hezber and Rashi, why were stars created? Lahafiz daite, to appease and to be there and to soothe the moon. You and I, we must all live up to the title Kechavim. We cannot be self-absorbed. We cannot lead a selfish life. It has to be one of Kechavim. Are we doing enough Lahafiz daite to appease, to soothe, to help, to be Margish the Tsar, to be Neisei Be'elim Chaveiroi? I hope the answer is always yes, but certainly since October the 7th, the answer must be yes. The one way to earn the title and appellation of being a Kaychav is Lahafiz daite, to appease, to be there for someone. We've often mentioned that perhaps the word that best describes our sojourn in this world is to have a sense of achrayus. Achrayus means a sense of responsibility, one yid for the other. It's what we've been speaking about until now. Achrayus means lahayil acharini, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner says. Achrayus means, as Reb Leib Bach says, lahafiz daite. Achrayus means, as the Tur al Torah says, okay means I want to minimize somebody's tsar. Achrayus means a deep sense of naisei be'elim chaveiroi. Achrayus is spelled Aleph Ches Resh Yud Vav Sof. Each of those six letters, when additionally added to the other letters, create a word. Let's start with the beginning. The first letter is an Aleph, and Aleph is one. You have to have a sense of achrayus to yourself. You have to be responsible to take care of yourself. Steig spiritually. The next letter of achrayus, the second letter, is a ches. Aleph and ches, the first two letters, spells the word ach, a brother. Do you take care of your family? Do you take care of your family? The next letter of achrayus, the third one, is a resh. So those first three letters, aleph, ches, resh, spells a word, acher. Acher means, besides taking care of your family, you don't live in a bubble or in a cocoon. You're part of a shul, you're part of a family, you're part of a kehillah, you're part of Klal Yisro, you're part of Am Yisro. Acher, do you take care of others? The next letter of achrayus, the fourth one, is a yud. Spell the first four letters as a word, aleph, ches, resh, yud. It spells the word acharai. Try to instill in a person that you're farlesla. Let them sense that you're genuine and sincere and turn to them, look them in the eye. Look them in the eye and connect with them and say, acharai, please follow after me. The next letter of achrayus, the fifth one, is avav. Spell the first five letters as a word. Aleph, ches, resh, yud, vav. It spells the word acharav. The person should feel you're so sincere, you're so genuine. The person should sense and be margish that you want to be nesib olim chaveroi. That the person should want acharav to follow after you. And the last letter of achrayus is the letter sof, the letter tof, the last letter of the aleph bays. And what's the opening letter of achrayus? Aleph. Opening letter is aleph. Closing letter is tof. To teach you that true achrayus is aleph to tof, beginning to end, bakol mikol kol. You can't do it on your terms, only when it's good for you, with people that you like, when it fits into your social schedule and your financial calendar and means. Achrayus is to yourself, to your family, to others. Follow after me, they will. Aleph to tof, beginning to end. I want to move on for the last few moments of the shiur, because I told you I wanted to get back to that opening maisa. If you take a look in the parsha, the pasuk tells us that Esav also brought, take a look at Chav Zayin, pasuk Lamed Aleph. Esav as well came back to his father. He brought him delicacies. Vayove la'oviv, and he brought it to his father. Vayove la'oviv, he brought it to his father. Perhaps you remember in other years we mentioned, we know that Esav had tremendous kibbutah for different reasons. That's not for now. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik, Rikolish Levrachu, as Masber, one of the three things about which it says that if you do, you get back, when you show kibbut aim to your parents, your children will have kibbut ava aim for you as well. So when they asked Reb Chaim the Mekor in the Torah, on the spot he answered, it's these two words in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. What does the Pasuk say? Vayove la'oviv. Now I have a chumash in front of me, you may not, but how do you spell the word vayove? Vav Yud Vez Aleph. How do you spell the word La'aviv? Lamed Aleph Vez Yud Vav. That's a palindrome. It's the same backwards and forwards. Vayove La'aviv read correctly. And reading those letters exactly backwards also spells Vayove La'aviv. And Rav Chaim said that's the Makor in the Torah, that when it comes to Kibud of Aim, what you give, you'll get back. What you put into honoring father and mother, you'll be'ezus Hashem get back from your children, this palindrome, Vayove La'aviv, back and forth. The night before last in Eretz Yisroel, I had this chus of speaking to a very, very, very large gathering of girls and women on the topic of Kibud Aveim, on the exquisiteness of this one of the Aseres Hadibros. I obviously can't give you an hour drush in the last 5-6 remaining minutes, but suffice it to say we brought down, it may very well be our reason and our purpose in this world. I tried to address all of the different age levels, those that are in seminary thousands of miles away from their family, those that are in their 20s, 30s, perhaps 40s, raising their own family, the next generation that might have elderly parents, and those whose parents have passed away, how do they do Kibud Aveim? We try to address each of these four categories as best as we could. But when I mentioned to my Rosh Hashiva Shlita that I was going to, in the evening, speak about Kibud Aveim, what actually caused him to say the maisa, you'll remember a few moments ago I told you an extraordinary maisa about his Bubby Rebbetzin Kutler and her Neisei Be'elim Chaver, the four things that she made sure she couldn't do and wouldn't do for 40 years. The Rosh Hashiva told me, I mentioned to you that she never bought a dress. There was one exception. The year was 1949. She was going to Eretz Yisroel to visit her father. Reb Aaron's father-in-law, the Rebbetzin's father, was of course the great Rosh Hashiva, Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer. He was wounded, he was injured. I believe the Rosh Hashiva said that some shrapnel entered his leg. So she was going to be Mevaker Chayla. It was her only trip that she made to Eretz Yisrael, 1949, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kibud Av. She went to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rosh Hashiva told me, L'chvoy the Mitzvah of Kibud Av, and visiting her father, for that, she bought herself a new dress. So while Rosh Hashiva made it clear to me that in 40 years of Neisei Be'elim Chaver, she never, ever, ever bought a new dress, but I'm going to visit my father, I shouldn't buy a new dress, L'chvoy the Mitzvah of Kibud Av. It was the one exception in 40 years, L'chvoid Kibud Aveim, she bought a new dress on her only visit when she went to Eretz Yisrael. There used to be such an awareness and such a darg of what it meant. I've mentioned many times, and I say it now again as it was just the 26th yard site of my father's atzal, growing up my siblings and I knew that during the weekday, if we saw our father dressed in big day Shabbos, and it wasn't for a simcha, chasra, bar mitzvah, wearing big day Shabbos on a weekday meant one thing. You've heard this from me before. He's going to pick up his parents from the airport. He's going to pick up Bubby and Zadie. You're going to pick up your parents from the airport and not put on big day Shabbos? That's the way we grew up, like it would have been the most natural thing. You're picking up a parent from an airport, you put on Big Day Shabbos. We mentioned the incredible Maisa with Reb Shimshon Pinkus, that after spending more than a decade on the classic sefer that he wrote, Sha'arim B'Tfilah, when after a decade it was ready from the printer to be delivered, although he lived in the south of Eretz Yisrael, he told the printer, deliver all the boxes to the Matas of Erin Yerushalayim, to where his parents lived. And after they arrived there a few hours or a day later, they were reboxed, repackaged, and resent to where he lived in the south part of Eretz Yisrael. And when he was asked why the two stops instead of one, he said, I'm sending them to my parents first. Everything that I have and whatever I've accomplished is solely because of the Ribbono Shel Olam allowing me to have my parents. I worked on this sefer for more than a decade. I'm not going to go ahead and give them the nachas of seeing the sefer before it mamish goes to the stores and before it's sold. They shouldn't see it before anybody else. In fact, when it arrived there, Talmidim wanted to help him up and down the steps with the boxes. He said, no, no, no. I want to do it myself. Mitzvah bay yesimi b'shluchai. And he schlepped the boxes up and down and down and up. And after his parents opened it and got the nachas, he then closed them and had it at the expense again, reshipped to where he lived in the south part of Eretz Yisrael. I mention all of these stories at least to realize this is a darga. There's such a darga of the exquisiteness of Kibbutz of Aim. Big day Shabbos, picking up a parent. Treating yourself to the new dress all over 40 years, not by the Chayit Kibbutz of Aim, yes. Realizing you finished the sefer, the first that has to be able to enjoy it is my parents. How could I not? It's for them. It's due to them. At this table 2 mornings ago, and we'll end with this maisa, the Rebbetzin, my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yaakov, the Schwartzman's Rebbetzin, was there at the table, and she said, I want to share a maisa as well. Let's end with this maisa, and hopefully it will make us realize by Yove La'oviv the critical importance of the exquisiteness of this mitzvah. It's one of the Dibrais. The Rebbetzin shared the following maisa. When her parents had become elderly, she went to visit them very often. At one point, she was able to visit them daily. And a number of times, she stayed for half an hour and then left. And on a number of those occasions, her elderly father turned to her, meaning daughter of the Rebbetzin, and said, At far holechet? At kar holechet, you have to leave already? Implication being, I need the time, I enjoy the time, I want the time, please stay longer. And after a half hour of leaving, this repeated itself a number of days. At kar holechet? She realized, obviously, that her father and her parents would appreciate more time. So she was able to stay from now on for an hour, not a half hour. I heard this from her herself 2 mornings ago. She was able to stay an additional half an hour, meaning an hour visit instead of a half hour visit. From the day that she changed to the hour visit instead of a half hour visit, her father, her parents never, ever, ever once said again, At far halechet? Because obviously the hour was what they needed, what they enjoyed, what they wanted. And Mamela, they no longer said that expression again. Now, Rabbi, say, I'm looking at your faces and I realize how extraordinary the mice is and how beautiful it is. And if I stop the story right there, I would wish you a good night and say the shir is over. But I deliberately save the best part for last. Mayrai v'Rabbi say, choshev etzibur and kehila. Who was the Rebbetzin's father? Who was Rebbetzin Schwartzman's father that said on those occasions, Atzar Halechet, and needed and wanted more time? I was zeichet because I learned in the yeshiva to see him on many occasions. Who was her father? Her father was none other than the legendary Reb Shlomo Volba. Reb Shlomo Volba from the greatest Bali Musar of the previous generation, the Mashkiach, the Bal Musar par excellence, Reb Shlomo Volba, the Ali Shor. And I remember when the Rebbetzin told me the Maisa 2 days ago, I looked across the table and I said, Rebbetzin, your father, Reb Shlomo Volba, he needed it, he wanted it. Firstly, he surely understood how precious and priceless time is. But you would think of Shlomo Volba as the great Bal Musar, one of the leaders of our generation. I said, even Reb Shlomo Volba, she looked at me and said, yes, that's the point. Even Reb Shlomo Volba wanted more time from his child. And after the 30-minute visit felt at Kfar Holechet, I could use more time, I want more time, I need more time. Even Reb Shlomo Volba, as a parent, wanted and needed more time. And his daughter understood that, so the half hour became an hour, and he never repeated it again. He understood the pricelessness and value of time. But as a parent, he understood that he could need and use more time. And I hope, Ezer Hashem, as we read the words Vayoveh La'ovim, which Reb Chaim explained is the makar for kibud of the aim, that what you put in, you get back from the next generation, that we remind ourselves of the exquisiteness of this one of the Aseres and Dibros of Kibud Ava'im, that we're zaycha to do our utmost and to try even harder. As I said, time doesn't allow us to go into it, but on the four different levels, I addressed B'siyata D'Shmayim Ruba, each of the four. And in the schus that we enhance our Kibud Ava'im, it should bring us to a closer relationship with Avinu Shebashamayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam feel that we bring about through all of our actions Ribui Kvod Shamayim Verabim. As we said in the beginning of this year, let's exemplify the Mid of Yaakov, the Okev, the Lohayel Acharini, acting like Kechavim, Neisei Be'elim Chaveroi. And in that schus, may we take a see Shalom al Yisrael, and may Avinu Shebashamayim bring about the ultimate Ribui Kvod Shamayim Berabim, which will be the Gula Shalema B'mheira B'yameinu Amen.